I want to thank Mr. Jeff Weissman for sponsoring today. Leland Yishuv's his parents, Esther Malko, Baus Yitzchok and Shengel, and Chaim Yosef ben David Yaakov and Elka, and we also davening for Schusa for Shlema for Yaakov ben Penina, who's having surgery right now, actually. Okay, the topic today, I want to touch on two things. I want to touch on, you know, Parsha Shmos. Sort of jumps out at you. The topic is going to be names. I mean, naming children. Also, the fact that we know that Chazal say it's a medrash in Vayikra. It's actually not a medrash in Parsha Shmos. It's a medrash in Parshas in Sefer Vayikra, in Perek Lamed Daled, which we know the Chazal. One of the reasons why the Klal Yisrael was able to have the Geula, it gives four reasons over there, because they didn't change their names, they didn't change their clothing. Didn't change their language, and they didn't speak. They not speak Lashon Hara. Those are the four things which are given in the Medrash. One of them is the importance of a Jewish name. So there's obviously coming to naming a child. There's a lot of different things to take into consideration. We're not going to cover all of them in the ten minutes allotted, but we'll try and cover a few things at least. So the first question, which always is who has the right to choose the name? How do we decide? Is it the father? Is it the mother? Is it the grandparents? Is it the great grandparents? Is it the tanta? Who gets the right? So there actually are different menhagim. The Ravadia in Yibiyah, Ravadia Yosef in Yibiyah Omer and Chelek Hay, explains the minhag which the Svardim have, and he brings the source of the Svardim that the first child, the right belongs to the father. And you find that by the story of Yehuda, and when he gets married, so the first child that says the first child is heir, it says Vayikra Eshmo, and he called his name heir. The second child was born and says Vayikra Eshmo, and she called his name Oinon. So we see that the order was at first Yehuda named the first child, and then his wife named the second child. So that's the source that he brings. Rav Moshe points out that the minhag of Ashkenazim is that the woman has the right to name the first child. Rav Moshe actually was a little bit of a sad case, whereas he's sort of assuming the minhag. He says the case was that the mother had named the first child, and the first child had passed away. Or the mother actually had not even named the first child. The first child had passed away shortly after birth and had not named the child yet. And now the second child is born. The question is, who gets the right? Is the right still belong to the mother, or in the situation, because this is the second child, does the right belong to the father? And Rav Moshe brings different rayos that the right to choose the name for the child belongs to the mother. So in that shuva, as he mentions, you find, for example, by the Imos, that the names of the children were all given not by Yaakov. Yaakov didn't name the children. The names of the children were by the Imos. Leah names her children, and Rachel names her children, and Leah and Rachel name the children of their shivcha, of Bila and Zilpah, but the names are always chosen by the mother. So you see that the he doesn't even get involved in the back and forth. It's just something like that's the general, that's the right to the mother. But he does say the meaning is the first child is named by the mother, and the second child is named by the father. That was the question. Okay, so that's a question of who has the rights, and the minhag Ashkenaz is that the mother names. There's a beautiful sefer, many sefer written on names. There was a kutras written a while back on the topic of names, and he says he documents the minhag is by Ashkenazim is the first one is the mother, the second child is named by the father, etc., etc. Obviously, the two of them can agree. That's the best, you know, when you don't have any issues, you work it out together, that'd be even better. But sometimes, you know, there is a pressure from one side or the other, so that's how you would divide it up.
What about subsequent children?
So the order is mother, father, mother, father, mother, father. That's how we understand it. Okay. Whose is a name? It's a proper name to give. Whose a name which is not proper to give? So the Gemara Newman, Daf Lamed Ches, brings a pasuk with Shem Rishayim Yirkov, that the names of Rishayim should be wasted. They should rot. They should be wasted out of use. The name of Rasha should become disused. We should not use it anymore. So it was, you know, we don't want to name anybody after him. You want to remember. We want to remember the name of the tzaddik. So you want to keep naming after him. So you would name the names after a person of the tzaddik, and not after somebody is. who's a Rosh. So Tosis points out, so Tosis Masechta Shabbos, so you have, you're not going to say that, you know, the Avraham Avinu was a big tzaddik, but there was a fellow named Avraham who was a Rosh, you know, so therefore we drop Avraham Avinu's name, obviously. The fact that if you have a unique name which belongs to this individual, and this individual is a Rosh, you would not name after him. So the question always comes up, you have a situation where there's a pressure from some family member that you name after so-and-so, and that, I just had the shiloh yesterday, actually, somebody came. Individual X was not nice to his wife. He refused to give her a get. Da, 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 da. And there's the somebody's pushing that he should be the name. The name should be given after him. So is that considered a Rosha for those purposes? So the scenario which he gave, I'm not getting involved, and I felt that wasn't considered Roshas. But Ramosha says in that situation when you would have to give a name like that under pressure, you can give the name, but think about the name from Tanakh. You know, so the fellow's name is Avraham, but you're thinking Avraham Avinu. The Bubba thinks you're thinking her husband Avraham. Good, so everybody's happy. The Bubba's happy, and you're happy, and that's not a problem. That's what Marcia's
suggesting. What do you do when they ask who you name
after? You cough, and you say, I don't know. Okay.
What about when a kid grows up and he wants to know who he's named after, and he's old enough to ask that?
That's a good question, yeah. So Marcia suggests in that situation, the other option you would do is you would add another name. You'd add a second name, and this would, that would change the name. So let's move to that idea of double names. Double names, we do not find double names in Tanakh. You find in Gemara a few places, but it's like Abba Mori. So the Dan Abiyud is a tshuva. He says the minig is not to have two names. Abba Mori means it's a language of it's an appellation of respect. My father Mori. So it wasn't necessarily his father, but the people, you know, like the Zeta Yaakov. Everybody's the Zeta Yaakov. He's not my Zeta. You know, he's your Zeta, but everybody calls him the Zeta Yaakov. But there's no such thing as a double name. And therefore, he suggested that double names are not proper. Some Sefer also has such a tshuva, and he says double names are not proper. He has an interesting case. He quotes a Marshal. Marshal had this issue. Okay, so there was two Zetas. There was, and the child was born, and there was a Zeta. And one Zeta's name was Meir, and one Zeta's name was Yoir. Right. So the Marshal says that they had this problem. You know, they were arguing for the name Meir, they're arguing for the name Yor. So the children came up with a solution and they said his name is Schneer. Schneer is from the Schnee Or, two Ors, two lights, the Or and Meir. This is the Marshal, so that's the source for the name Schneer. That's where it came from. So some surface says, now the problem is there's people named Schneer before this story, because he says who the story was with. There's people named Schneer before him, but he said that's the source for the name Schneer. This is a Marshal going through the names for Gittin purposes. So he says this is how you're supposed to spell it. It's because of the word Schnee Or. And there were some services, but you see from the story, you didn't say, well, we'll call him Mayor Yoyer or Yoyer Mayor, right? So they didn't call a double name. So one of the modern aquarium says it's not really right, because maybe there still would have been the argument, who goes first? You know, is it Mayor Yoyer or Yoyer Mayor, right? So he said, you know what, your name is Schneer Or, we'll solve all the problems. But some sort of holds that that's a riot. Chazanish also was against the idea of a double name. So we had a fascinating story in Tells, I'm a Tellser. And Rebbelezer Silver held that a double name was not the name. You know, as if you say, you know, named after, you know, Beryl from was one Zayda and Yaakov was other Zaydas. There's Yaakov, Beryl Yaakov was his name. No, it's not the name. It's a new name. So this was a story. Rishi Rav Isaac Goldsman, Zichr Lebracha, his name was Yitzchak Isaac, and he was the son-in-law to Rav Aram Yitzchak Bloch, the Talzer Rosh Hashiva, who was killed by the Nazis in Machshemo. So his oldest child was born. The question was, he wants to name his child after his wife's father, Avram Yitzchok. So Rabbi Avram Osman, the Rishiva, tells Riverdale, his name is Avram Yitzchok ben Yitzchok Isaac. That's his name. Because like Silver said, Yitzchok Isaac and Avram Yitzchok are two different. It's not, your name isn't Yitzchok, your name isn't Yitzchok Isaac. Your name is Avram Yitzchok. There's not a problem with naming the child after the father. It's a totally different name. He has double names are totally different names. It's interesting, not everybody agrees to that. It's,
why the reluctance?
Well, the original reluctance, you don't name the child the same name as his father. Yitzchok ben Yitzchok would that was the question. You can call him Avram Yitzchok ben Yitzchok Isaac. So it's Yitzchok ben Yitzchok. You're not going to do that. The only case we do that, you know, Lorlanos or somebody who's been nifter.
Yeah, how come we got to a situation where most people now have double names?
So Moshe has a tshuva about it. He suggests that maybe what happened was I'm going to try to get to that. Let me go to the next step. So Moshe has a tshuva. He talks about non-Jewish names, giving people non-Jewish names. So the Maram Sheikh has a very strong tshuva. This is, you know, he was dealing with the reform in Hungary and Czechoslovakia, and this is becoming a common issue. And he came out very strong against this idea of giving somebody a non-Jewish name. There's the Yamsha Shlomo, has a fascinating case. Is that we had an issue. We had two Zetas. So you'll call one, you'll give one the Jewish name, and one will give the non-Jewish name. So, you know, you'll name after one Zeta the non-Jewish name, and you'll name the one Zeta the Jewish name. So apparently they would give both names, and they would give two names, and that was his compromise. Like, imagine something like compromise nowadays, right? Yeah, you'll get the non-Jewish name, you know, you'll get the Jewish name, like, you know, God says, really, okay. But Ramosha says that they would interact outside of the Jewish, they would have to use non-Jewish names. But if you just give a non-Jewish name, you're just give a Jewish name, he's not used to a non-Jewish name, he's going to mess it up when he's interacting. So they would give both a Jewish name and a non-Jewish name. That's where this idea of giving a double name came from. They would get, they'd be used to both names. So Moshe suggests the double name came actually from a Jewish name and a non-Jewish name together. That's how it started. And once it started, it became custom to have multiple names, and then it became standardized. Now, Moshe does say that in regards to using a non-Jewish name, he says he's not a big fan of it, giving somebody a non-Jewish name. He says, but it's not also in any way, shape, or form. And therefore, he says, in a case where it's a question of naming a child after a parent's parent, who only had a non-Jewish name, and they're going to should you call Yikarish Rabbi Yisrael, whatever? He says, yeah, let's keep it Avayim. You should name the child after the grandmother, even though it wasn't a Jewish name.
So you're saying that name would also go on like the Kesuba?
But that would be the name, right? It wasn't. That's what he suggests. That's what he suggests.
What about Alexander? That wasn't a whole door that named the boys Alexander for political reasons. Alexander, it's stuck.
So Alexander is interesting because Alexander is dealt with in halacha as a Jewish name and not as a non-Jewish name.
He also wasn't a big
tzaddik. That's true, but the way we have the story is they did it because of a karas hatayv.
Right.
But it's interesting in halacha we deal with Alexander as a Jewish name. In other words, when you're writing a get, the way we write a Hebrew name is quite different than we write a non-Hebrew name. In a non-Hebrew name, we use Yiddish vowelizations to write it. So, but if you're writing a Jewish name, a Hebrew name, you use the name as written. So we write Alexander as Aleph Lamed Chaf Samech, Alexander, etc. You write it as a non-Jewish name. You'd be putting an ayin in there, and you'd be putting another aleph in there. You know, so we deal with it as a full-fledged Jewish name. So Alexander, for whatever reason, you know, because of that, whatever the story is exactly. The Mor doesn't say that story that they promised they would name everybody after him. It's a Medrash or something like that. So
what's the case?
I'm sorry?
And then there's a situation like with my father, Yosef, who was born named Yosef, but became ill.
Right. So then you add the name because of illness. Right, so that's where we had the many people that you end up, you know, a lot of people were sick, so eventually you want a name after them, and now he has two names. In general, the idea of adding a name because of illness, in Skimera, they don't do it. Because when they understand that the name of a name represents the neshama of the person, and that he has a purpose that he's here. If you're changing the name, you're playing with that. So unless you know exactly what you're doing, you might make it worse rather than better. So that's why usually you pick somebody who's going to do it as a person who's a big Talmud Chacham, etc., who feels comfortable making a decision. Right, here's your story was the Chofetz Chaim, so I think we can trust the Chofetz Chaim, but I wouldn't necessarily advocate for somebody else to do that. Okay.
Where did the minhag end? We see the Abbos, they named people, they named their children after some sort of concept.
So that's a Medrash. That's a Medrash. That's what the Medrash. The Medrash says that the Abbas, because they had Ruach HaKadosh, were able to name after something that happened, something occurred. But nowadays, if we don't know that, we name after Abbasenu. It's actually a Medrash. The Medrash says it already. So it's part of the Medrash. One other person was Nifter Young. So that's Rashi talks about that also, and he says that actually the example which he talks about is Yeshayo. The name of the Nabi is Yeshayo. Most people are called Yeshaya, not Yeshayo. He says the reason why is because Yeshayo was killed through his grandson killed him. Menashe killed him, and that's, you know, he came to a violent death. We don't want to name exactly after him, so we name him after Yeshaya. There's Yeshaya mentioned in Divrei Yomim, which is a different person. So we mean Mechabim for the Navi, but really we mean, you know, we don't use that name because of that that indication of a One last thought. Ramosh has a fascinating idea. He says, you know, this idea of Shalashin Shmom. He says, if I wouldn't be scared, I would say this. This is what he writes. You love the Mistafina, I would write this. He says that this issue of not changing the name, which was the source of the Geula, applied when they didn't have Torah. So what made them distinct and unique and special was these few things that they kept unique. But now that we have Torah, so that's what makes it unique and special. The fact that the names, the issue of a non-Jewish name would not become as significant, and he does not feel it. He says, Lula, there's the fear I was such a thing. I want to mention this to somebody else. He told me it's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. So I tried to look for it this morning. I couldn't find where the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is. The person didn't remember where it is either. But he says he remembers seeing it inside. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says it without any reservation. The merchant says it with reservation. He says it without any reservation. Okay. Got a few minutes. Just want to move on to a word on the parsha. There's a fascinating idea from the Taras of Rome. The Taras of Rome was Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski. He was the last Mashkiach of Slobodka. He was killed by the Nazi Yimach Shmom. He's also known to us. His sons-in-law, Rav Shlomo Volba was one son-in-law. Rav Kreisworth Zatzal was the second son-in-law. And Rabbi Yama Kamenetsky was the third son-in-law. The Shlita, L'chav Ben Chaim L'chaim. So Baruch Hashem, at least through his daughters, he continued. I think one son also survived. See, he has a beautiful Torah called Taras of Rome, which is on Musar, it's not on the Parsha, but he says the following question. He deals with can we see the Parsha of Shmos being part of the Geula? In general, really, Shmos, someone focuses on the Shibud. We see Moshe Rabbeinu starting, but is an element of Geula in the Shibud? I guess that's really the way he's questioning. So he starts with a fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Antoninus comes to Rabbi and asks, at what point does the Yetzer Hara enter into the child? At the moment of conception and the moment of birth? So Rabbi said the moment of conception. So Antoninus says back, it can't be, because if that would be true, the child would kick out through the abdominal wall of the mother and come out before he's born. So Rabbi says, you're right, and therefore the Yetzer Hara enters into the child at the moment of birth. That's the Gemara. So he says, let's try to understand this Yetzer Hara that he's convincing the child that if there be a Yetzer Hara in this fetus, he'd be interested in kicking through the mother's stomach and coming out. Like, what exactly is the sales pitch of the Yetzer Hara, right? So Chazal say that when a child is in the rechem of the mother, there's no time in his life which is better than that. He always said there's no time which is better. He's able to see from one end of the world to the other. He's fully taken care of, and he learns Kol HaTorah Kula, and it's phenomenal in there. Okay, so far it doesn't sound like anything enticing to come out, because it's great inside there. Okay, number two, when a child comes out at that point in time, he dies. So it's very hard to sell it. Let's kick out and die, right? And he'll probably kill his mother as well also. So what is the sales pitch of the Yetzer Hara is going to have when you have the best place in the world, as I'll say? Another option is death. And what's the sales pitch? What is the Yetzer Hara selling? The Yetzer Hara is selling independence. I don't like being cooped up. I don't like being controlled. I don't like being taken care of. I want to do it myself. Child's born, right? A year old, self, right? You're going to have a lot more food into your mouth if I feed you. No, I don't want the food in my mouth. I want the food all over my face, all over you, all over the floor, because it's self. That's the most basic Yetzer Hara that we have. This is the Yetzer Hara of Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. He's taking, Gan Eden is the best place in the world. Everything's perfect. Just do one thing you can't do. No. Don't tell me what to do. I want to decide myself. You talk to a teenager, right? Listen, I had a guy who wanted to tell this. Rebbe, if you wouldn't have told me, I would have decided on my own not to do it. But now you tell me not to do it, I'm going to do it but after. Why? That's going to hurt me. I know that. But why don't you tell me? I have to. Okay? I need to show that I'm in control. Independence. So we're trying to rectify, and the purpose of Matan Torah is to get back to the state of a human being before Chet, before Adam HaRishon. So what's the training ground for that? The training ground of that is Sheba Mitzrayim. Learning what it means to be an Evan. What it means to submit. What it means to be machnia yourself, and to accept somebody else's yoke. And probably the hardest thing which we have is accepting the yoke of Shemayim. I connect this idea to, there's a the Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim. He has a section. He has Shar Al Shal Beis Shal Gim, and then he has a section of Prokim. Then he has Shar Dalet. See, in the section of Prokim, he says an interesting comment. He says that the foundation of all Yetzer Hara is the Avia Vos Atuma is the Yetzer Hara of Gaiva. So what does he mean, Gaiva? So, okay, remember, every Yetzer Hara we start with, well, I want. There's always that word, I. Every Yetzer Hara always starts with the word, I. I want this, I want that, I prefer this, I don't want this. But there was always that word, I. He says the idea of the human being is created, that you have to submit to your creator is a difficult thing for us. We don't like feeling that, focusing on the fact that we're created. The moment we don't focus on the fact that we're created, we don't feel the fact that we're a nivra, we feel like we have this in existence, that's the moment which he sees as the source of all of our challenges. And that's really this Yetzirah. This is the Yetzirah, which is the primordial Yetzirah, and the solution for that, Klausel was put through a process of Shibud, which would train us to be able to submit. And therefore, when we come to, and our process is, we went from being Avdei Paro to being Avdei Hashem. Hallelujah, we start off Hallel Mitzrayim. What are the Hallel Avdei Hashem? The starting process is Avdei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, and we write his epitaph, right? We put what's going to be on the Matzeva? Moshe Avdi Meis. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to. Yeshua says Moshe Avdi Meis. That's how the Rishon described Moshe Rabbeinu. He's an Eved. So the biggest challenge a human being can have, the greatest appellation we could have, is being an Eved Hashem.